great day. Oh, I'll say it again. This is a great day. This is the great day of the feast. And we have been feasting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you may not realize what's been happening to you. Those of you who have already received a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. St. Paul said to Timothy, meditate on these things. Remember, that's a covenant word. Remember the prophecies that went over thee, that thou byest them might war a good warfare. That's the last time the word warfare is used in the Bible, in the King James Version. God gives you these words because there's a war. But we fight from the advantage of the winning side.
Amen.
Amen. So praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time. Our brethren from Georgia. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say from the United States, because Darby and I and Debbie and I and David, and we're all from the United States too. We're from the West Coast. And so we leave this coming week. We will be with you on the Lord's Day. Hallelujah. But Brother McCurry and the saints from Georgia will be leaving Mortry Hall tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. They're keeping the hour of the birds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is just the first of many. This is just the first of many. Glory be to God. From this time forward, harvest fields will grow. Not that it hasn't been growing, but it will be growth that will not be, the locust will not come and devour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother McCurry, I know, will give us a word of exhortation. Praise the name of the Lord, and then we shall proceed with the laying on of hands, the prophecy, and the new elders will join us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give our dear brother McCurry a wonderful welcome. Hallelujah. We can welcome him. Amen. Glory to God. You're allowed to stand. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll get this funny podium. I've never seen a podium like this in my life.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Bob, just in case you have to, where is he?
Hallelujah.
Oh, there he is, way down there. Just in case you have to read.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me to the 19th chapter, Book of Exodus. Now, as we begin this lesson, I want you to notice that over and over in this chapter, he talks about the third month, the third day, and what all is taking place. And he's talking about the formation of a kingdom.
Amen.
And that's what God is in the process of doing now. And as we began to read in this chapter, I trust that you will allow the Lord to speak to you and settle you in this glorious kingdom that God is raising up. So look at verse 1 in the third month. Read, Bob.
In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai.
Amen. Now, number one, you have to leave Egypt.
Yes.
And if you don't leave Egypt, you will never get anywhere. Then in verse 2,
for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount.
Now they were camping before the mountain. They didn't realize that God was going to call Moses up into this mountain. Israel was going to become afraid. Israel was going to request that God not to speak to them. Well, there's a whole lot I'd like to get to before we go into that. But as we read on down into this chapter, verse 3,
and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel.
Well, glory.
Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself.
Now, Israel thought that they were having to walk everywhere.
Yes.
And God said, I brought you on eagle's wings.
Yes. Yes.
Your thinking is not like God's thinking.
Right.
In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 8, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, they thought they were walking in the wilderness, and God, in reality, was carrying them on wings of eagle.
Amen.
But you have to position yourself in that kind of a thought pattern.
Yes.
And if you do, you are going to be contrary to everything that's going on in the world.
Glory.
And that's exactly what God is after in this hour. He is not going to do as you like.
Right.
But he's going to carry out his thoughts.
Yes.
And you're going to have to line up with him.
Amen.
He is not going to line up with you.
Right.
But if you begin to read on, especially get down to verse 6.
Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and shall keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall say, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests.
Now, there it is. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest. Now, if you was to go back and look at this, he is raising up a kingdom,
yeah,
a priest,
yes,
and priest has to be prepared.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody that's in the kingdom is a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
That is, you can do the priestly office.
Amen.
Now, before God can do anything to for you, if you would turn to the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus, and you will find out there in that chapter that God has to call you first. The calling of God comes before anything else. And when God calls you, there's some preparations you have to do. You can be called and never come into the priesthood. Well, I said you could be called and never come into the priesthood. Because you, if you don't make the preparations, you'll never get in. And the requirements starts with a calling.
Right.
And in the 28th chapter of Exodus, and with you begin with verse 1.
And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office.
Now, he's speaking about Aaron here. And then he mentions his sons.
Yes.
Now, Aaron had four sons. And so he himself constitutes the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
That's where it starts.
Right.
And that's where it begins and goes all the way through the Bible. And that's the reason five is also the number of ministry and is the number of grace. So, if we're going to come into the kingdom, we're going to have a calling.
Amen.
Somebody has to measure up to the fivefold ministry. And if you're going to get into the kingdom, it'll have to be through the fivefold ministry. And if you understand that, you'll have to go and find out that Jesus was all five in one. And you could break it down very easily. And he was in the office of apostle. He sent the 70 out. And apostles, the meaning of apostle, the traditional church, they think that being one sent is the only definition, but there's a whole lot of definitions that goes deeper than just being one sent. You cannot be sent unless he equips you. And in this situation, you'd have to go over to the Hebrew letter that Paul wrote in chapter 3 and verse 1. And he starts off there, wherefore, holy brethren. He ain't talking to just anybody. He's talking to holy brethren. And then he said, let us consider. Now, when you go to considering, you're beginning to analyze something.
Amen.
Let us consider the holy apostle. Read, Brother Bob, with me.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling.
Now, partakers of the heavenly calling. Do you see where we're going now?
Amen.
It starts off with a calling. And he's telling you, wherefore, holy brethren, consider.
Consider the apostle and high priest
now,
of our
now,
profession.
Just a minute. The apostle. He's the only apostle.
Amen.
He's the only prophet. He's the only evangelist. He is the pastor. And he's the teacher. You do not have any gifts, any ministry. And that's the reason you are not coming into the Holy of Holies. You cannot come behind the veil with any ministry of your own. And neither can you come into the Holies of Holies with any calling or title of your own.
Amen.
It has to be altogether Him.
Yes.
Now that's that's the reason you're not finding too many people operating out of the Holies of Holies.
Right.
They're trying to promote themselves into a office that is impossible for them to possess. The only way you can possess that is to know that He has, as He did with Jesus, pinch off a piece of Himself and manifest it through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man cannot look at the sun without being blinded. So He's not going to allow you to see the fullness of Him. He pinches off a little speck and puts it in you, and that will illuminate you. Well, hallelujah. And you should be thankful that He is sharing His ministry with you. And if you will accept that, oh hallelujah. And if you would go back to Hebrews chapter 1, He tells you that. And He says that in times, in summary times, God spake to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through what?
His Son.
Hallelujah. Now, you'd have to go back and look what the word Hebrew means. And it means simply crossing over. Or coming over. It's not wrote just to the Jews, but it's wrote to everyone that wants to cross over to something better, a better covenant, a better priesthood. Hallelujah. And in short, you come into a better kingdom. And this is what we are after right now, is to come into that kingdom that Jesus Christ is building up in you and through you. And the kingdom is not anything but the Spirit. And if it isn't Spirit, it's not kingdom. Well, then you and I should endeavor to become more Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you're going to get into the realms of the Spirit, it cannot be through works. And you might as well understand it's not by what you do, but it's by what He is doing through you. Oh, praise God. And so, in this 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, He's telling us what all that we're going to have to do. And then he says in verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now, who is it unto? Oh, glory. There is only one individual in the Bible outside of a deity that this is said of. And Ahithophel in the Bible is the only man that's mentioned in the Word of God that if you was to inquire of him, it would be as if God was answering you with his own vocal cords. Now, brother, that's really an experience. No other person in the Bible that's said of. Ahithophel. Now, when Absalom was leading a conspiracy against David, Ahithophel went with Absalom. And when David was coming up the Mount of Olives, barefooted, with ashes on his head, he had desired, well, I can't leave Jerusalem without going up into the Mount of Olives, my praying ground, one more time. And he sat there with his feet bleeding, cut by the rocks, ashes on his head. And history tells us that while he was sitting there, he wrote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, running for his life. And while he sat there, a runner come up and said, Ahithophel has turned unto Absalom. David prayed a foolish prayer. He prayed a prayer that God could not answer the way he prayed it. I'm a little reluctant to get in on this, but it's so beautiful. How many of you have ever prayed a foolish prayer? Huh? Oh, you can't pray foolish prayers. Yes, you can. You can pray foolish prayer by just wanting what you want. And every last one of us have done that. But the prayer David prayed was this. When he heard Ahithophel had turned to Absalom, he said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness.
That's right.
Impossible for God to answer that. For God never repents over any gift or calling. And he's already said Ahithophel was a gifted counselor, and if you had obtained advice from him, it was as if God's own vocal cords was answering you. And here is David, the king and the prophet, praying that God would change it to foolishness. But you see, God knows how to move. He can take that foolish prayer, change a few words, and work it out and give David the same answer he wanted, but in a different way.
Right.
Ah, hallelujah. But you see, you don't want him to fool with your prayers.
No, that's true.
You don't want him to agree with everything you say.
Of course.
but he won't do it.
Thank you, Lord.
He is the sovereign majesty. Oh, glory to God. The creator of all things. Oh, praise God. And about that time, Hushai come up. He was a stranger to everybody but David. And David, he wanted to follow David. And David said, no, they don't know you here. You go back and serve Absalom. And this man had never done nothing but farm. Glory to God. God can use anybody that will present themselves to him.
Amen.
And that will obey. I better not get in on this. Obey them that have rule over you. And submit to those that have rule over you. Oh, that's really a dirty word, but he said to Hushai, you go back, you can be of more service to me there than you can with me. David had left the throne, he had left his house, he had left everything that he possessed, sitting there on the Mount of Olives, his feet cut and bleeding, no provisions, and he's running for his life. And so when Absalom come in, he went up to the top of David's house where the tents was pitched and brought in David's concubines and allowed Israel to see the shadows of what was going on in that tent, and showing Israel that he disregarded everything David stood for. And so Absalom then called for Ahithophel, the counselor, the gifter. And Ahithophel said, knowing your father and knowing what kind of a warrior he is, I would advise you to overtake him now. And if I'm going to do battle with David, I won't get him when he's tired. That's good advice. But Absalom said, bring Hushai in. This man ain't never done nothing but farm. And he said, well, if you pursue after David now, he will ambush you and there will be a slaughter among the people and the hearts of Israel will be turned back to David. I would advise you to wait till tomorrow and then pursue him. And the Bible said Absalom disregarded Ahithophel's counsel and believed Hushai. Now, how many of you understand God answered David's prayer? Not the way he prayed it. He didn't turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. He let Absalom believe a foolish man's counsel instead of the wise. Every time you get in trouble, you have refused the knowledge of the wise and believe the foolish. So I want to tell you one thing. You had better have a spiritual ear to hear what God is saying and know how to discern what God's saying from what man is saying and man's thoughts. A lot of prophecies is just from the top of the head and not from the heart. So it's so important that you come into the presence of God with an open heart and with a discernment to know what's of God and what is of man. They taught us in latter rain that water is pure, but if you run it through a hose pipe, it'll be contaminated with that hose. Amen. The Word of God is pure, but when it goes through our flesh, it becomes contaminated. And you have to discern what's pure and what's not. Brother Fred Poole and I were in a convention. A lot of other folks were there, but I was standing with Brother Fred Poole. And a young man come up and he began to prophesy. And he got through and he said to Brother Poole, he said, "What do you think of this word?" "Oh, it's a good word." "Do you think it was of God?" "No." "You mean you think it was of the devil?" "No." "It was John." His man's name was John. Listen to me, saints. This Bible is full of illustrations all the way through. And there's always somebody going to hear what you say and twist it. Amen. I've had prophecies that come over me that I was going to have all wells. I was going to have an airstrip, airplanes, and all of that. "Oh, you don't believe that." Well, the Bible said you prophesy in part. And I tell them individuals, "You prophesied the part I don't believe." But how many of you want to have an open heart with a discernment that you can determine what was flesh and what was pure?
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Not just by what you're hearing. Well, how many of you have had prophecies like that, the part you don't believe? Oh, man. Hallelujah. I remember well Brother Joe Mars, Brother Dan Ospinick, Brother Cody knows these brethren, Dr. Marnie was riding in the limousine with Jack Cole and his wife. And Brother Joe Mars began to prophesy. And he prophesied the death of Brother Cole, Jack Cole. And the purpose of that death was his wife could not get enough of money. She was on Jack all the time about more money, more money. And the word of the Lord was that God was going to take Brother Cole because of this very thing. And he was on the way to catch a plane then to go to Washington, D.C. for a big tent meeting. And he had $100,000 from that meeting in his briefcase. And he tucked it up there and gave it to his wife when he got off the plane. He was damp and wet from preaching and ministry. And he fell. They put him in the hospital and he died. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been that woman, I would have stayed on my knees until God gave me some peace and comfort.
Right.
A few years after that, she was in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I was in Sarasota. And she called me up. People had sat down on her and wouldn't give her no money. She called me and told me she needed me to come up to see her. So I go up. And she said, "Brother McCurry, I called you here to see if you would take me up an offering and get me enough money to get back to Dallas." I said, "Well, you come on too heavy with these people." I said, "These people just will not cater to all this heavy-duty stuff that you are trying to put on them. The reason of it is they had enough of discernment to see that if you didn't have the interest in the people, but only interested in the money, that won't work." And she told me, she said, "Well, I need $5,000. I said, "Well, you don't need no $5,000. To go to Dallas from Tampa?" I said, "I'll raise you enough money to get you a plane ticket to go to Dallas, and you better stay there." I raised her $1,500. She said, that won't get me to Dallas." I said, "If it don't, you can walk." I know. Hallelujah. But I want you to look at something here. God said he was going to raise up a kingdom of priests. How many of you know how these priests lived? When they were offering up a sacrifice, they had a three-pronged fork. And it was, then they could go in there and hit that sacrifice with that three-pronged fork and pull it. And whatever they could pull off is what they lived on. Amen. What tells me that we are coming into an hour that you're going to have to dig in and actually live on what you can pull off.
Amen.
Now that sounds easy, doesn't it? But you only can live that day with what you pull off. There's another day. Well... And when the Lord is saying he's raising up a kingdom of priests, it does not mean that everybody's going to have the same office. Aaron was the high priest. But Aaron and his sons both lived on what they could pull off. Each one of them had a stroke. Amen. To pull off the meat, which would be their livelihood for that day. But all of these priests was not in the ministry. They were in the ministry, but they wasn't pulpit ministry. One of these was in charge of the furniture. One was in charge of the vehicles that hauled the furniture. Another was in charge of the tents. And another one was in charge, which is four, of stacking up the boards and laying the tenons of silver and the sockets of silver, preparing them for moving when the cloud moved. And Aaron was the high priest. He's the one that pointed them for their task. Now, if you and I are in the kingdom of God, and we are kingdoms of priests, God is not going to appoint every one of you as pulpit ministry. But you're going to be satisfied fulfilling the position that you're appointed to. If you don't, you slow the whole process down. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't do what the Lord desires you to do, you're slowing the whole church up. There's no progress. And I guess it'd be all right to preach the truth. If you don't do what God has commissioned you to do, you slow the whole process up. The cloud will move on.
That's right.
And you be left behind. Why? Simply because you just didn't want to lift up the board and stack them in the right position. Because the way they was to be stacked was the way they had to be put up again. And that's where the writer got the thought from, for invisible hands. We're being held up by invisible hands. And we have been sinking into that silver, which is a redemption. And you don't see the hands that's holding you up. Oh, man. Oh, hallelujah. But along with those hands, there was five rods.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the only one that was invisible was the third one. Well, how many of you understand what the third one was? What's the third ministry of the five? Now you'll have to think, I guess. Apostles, prophets, and what? Evangelist. It's the only one that was not seen visibly. It went through the board. Oh, glory to God. And I'm here to tell you now that you don't see the evangelist in this hour, or I should say you should not see them. But yet they are important to the tabernacle to hold up these boards. And these boards was made out of shittim wood and then overlaid with gold. Praise God. And if you was to look on the outside, you wouldn't see anything but just goat hair blackened by the sun. But if you would look inside, you would see one of the most bright and glittering, hallelujah. It's not what you'd show in outside, it's what God has covered you with inside.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then the curtains of God. It was one more glorious thing. Well, I stopped with these boards. But just think about every time the cloud moved, they had to pack up and load up all this stuff, cover it up, so folks wouldn't know what they were moving and hauling.
That's right.
Now, if you think that you've got to show off, you've got the wrong idea.
Amen.
You've got the wrong idea. But how will they know that God has commissioned me to do this if they don't see me? They are to see him and not you. Well, glory. Now, as we read on down in this chapter, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now go down to verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses,
Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord.
Now, how many of you believe they meant what they said? They said, Moses, you tell God not to speak to us no more. But we'll hear what he tells you. Biggest lie they'd ever told. They ain't going to believe Moses, and they don't want God to talk to them no more. I got news for you. That spirit's still in the world.
It's in the church.
They don't want you to tell them what God said.
Amen.
I can hear from God myself.
Right. Yeah.
No, you can't. You have to come under a divine order. And if you cannot submit to divine order, you as far as you'll ever get.
Amen.
And the very first time you question divine order, you have lost contact with God.
That's the truth.
Very swift. But how can I know what is divine order or not? That book tells you what divine order is. And that book tells you how the anointing comes. It starts at the head and flows down. That's where it starts. Would it be all right if I was to go into a little bit of this? Very few people are willing to hear the Word of God under divine order. Somebody said, well, where are we living now? Well, look at what the Lord said in Psalms. It's good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what?
Unity.
Unity. You don't come into the fivefold ministry until you learn and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's verse 3, chapter 4 of Ephesians. Oh, hallelujah. Well, suppose I don't submit to the fivefold ministry. What will happen to me? Well, you drop down to verse 15, and then from on down on the rest of that chapter, he tells you what's going to happen to you. Would you let me just pause a moment and show you what happens to you if you don't submit to fivefold ministry? All right, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15.
But speaking the truth in love, might grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ.
Now, if you don't grow up and hear fivefold ministry, it was verse 17 that's where,
yes,
what I wanted.
This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk.
Don't walk like other Gentiles walk.
In the vanity of
your mind. In your vanity of your mind. Now, how many of you know vanity there is what you think? And you're ignoring fivefold ministry. And the very minute you want to do your own thing, you're walking in the vanity of your mind.
Right.
And you lose the one thing that God wants you to have, and that is the mind of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Well, read it more.
Having the understanding darkened.
Now, and when you walk in the vanity of your mind, your understanding is going to be darkened. Well, in reality, what he's saying, you are going to believe in understanding what the enemy wants you to do instead of what God wants you to do. Your mind is going to be darkened.
Which is Satan's territory.
And that is the devil's territory.
Yeah.
Oh, glory. Yeah. I did a teaching one time on the 7 definitions of darkness. I got to hunt that up in my notes because I believe that that is exactly what's holding individuals back today. One of them is ignorance. You got it in the back of your Bible, Fred?
I was looking at it.
I talk,
huh?
It says misery and obscurity.
Misery, obscurity, death.
Sorrow.
Sorrow, yeah. There's 7 of them. Well, glory. Do some looking up yourself. You got them?
Misery, destruction, death,
ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, obscurity.
Now, how many of you be honest enough with me to admit that there's at least one of them in you? Well, I've got three or four that will admit it. Well, glory to God. Now, read again, read some more, Bob, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians.
Yes. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God.
Oh, my. Alienated from the life of God. In other words, you have become a foreigner to the life of God. Mm-hmm. Read some more.
Through the ignorance that is in them.
And the ignorance that is in them. That's another attribute of darkness.
Because of the blindness of their heart. Who being in past feeling has given themselves over unto lasciviousness.
And you have become past feeling and have given yourself over to lasciviousness. That's unbridled lust.
To work all uncleanliness with greediness.
And then you begin to do anything because you think that nothing is wrong with your own thinking.
Amen.
And this is exactly where the church world has fallen through and by the traditional teachings that's going on in the church world today. Now, if we are going to move into the kingdom of priesthood, we're going to have to learn, hallelujah, to practice the requirements. The first is the calling.
Right. Amen.
The second one is the washing. The third one is anointing yourself. The next one is putting on the garment. Well, my Father, if you hold your finger there, I'll show you what he's talking about in Isaiah 52. And then a few verses down there. And he says, awake, awake.
Yeah.
Now if you'll go back to the 31st chapter of Genesis, he'll tell you that any time God mentions a word twice, it will most surely come to pass shortly. That's exactly what it said. If you got 52nd chapter?
Yes. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion.
Oh, wait a minute. He's not talking to the church. He's talking to Zion. Zion is the highest peak in Jerusalem or in the church. Jerusalem, a type of the church. Zion is the highest peak, and that's where David's house was built. That's where David ruled from. Oh, hallelujah. And any time you come to Zion, Zion is another term for kingdom. Praise God. And any time you come into the kingdom, you're in the highest peak of the church. But let us read some more, though, in that.
Put on thy beautiful garment.
Now, first of all, he said, put on your strength. Nehemiah, hallelujah. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on.
Yes.
And most of us look like sucking lemons and eating crab apples. And we certainly are not putting on the strength of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord. Now, you've got to come and submit under the word of the Lord. And in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, it said, put on thy beautiful garments. Now, you can't do that unless you have fulfilled the burnt offering.
Amen.
And that means you have been reduced to ashes. And he said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. That's the only beauty treatment you'll ever get. Is when you are reduced to nothing.
Amen. Yes.
Well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Am I worrying you with this? Or
no.
I'll unplug and sit down. Read some more.
Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean.
Amen.
There is coming right now, this is the day, that the unclean, the unsanctified, is going to shun us.
Right.
So if you got somebody saying, you know, I'm just going to leave. Well, hallelujah. Go your journey. Quicker the better. So we are not trying to have a crowd.
No.
Amen. Well, things ain't going to suit me. Since when did God say they would?
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. I tell the pastors at home, the bishops of the church, I tell them, scatter yourself out in among the church where you can see what's going on.
Amen.
And hear what's being said.
Amen.
And if you hear something that's not lining up, rebuke them.
Amen.
Well, they'll get mad. Let them get glad.
Yeah.
Well, amen.
Amen.
I'm a stricter for the word.
Yes.
Amen.
And I believe that if we'll move in according to the pattern of the word of God, we'll come into the fullness of God a whole lot quicker.
Yes. Amen.
I believe that. Read some more in that chapter.
Shake thyself from the dust.
Now, he didn't say, I'm going to do it. He said, you shake yourself from the dust. Isaiah 60 and 25 says the dust is the devil's meat.
Right.
Amen.
Aren't you tired of the devil chewing on you and sucking on you because you are in the dust? Well, shake yourself. Get it. Get rid of it. I like what Daniel says. 12th chapter of Daniel. I don't know how many fingers you got left, but but there's a whole lot of people sleeping in the dust realm. Oh, I was just wanting to start at verse 1, chapter 12. And you must understand, 12 is a divine government number. Hallelujah. Verse 1, chapter 12, Daniel.
My finger's running.
Well, it's better your fingers run out than my mind run
out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And at that time shall Michael stand up.
Michael shall stand up.
The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people.
Children of God. And, And one translation says, the sons of God. Full mature sons of God. Michael stands up. That's the warring angel.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And listen to what he says.
And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was
now,
a nation.
Now, many of you wonder why we have so much trouble in the church world. Well, brother and sister, when God begins to elevate individuals into this kingdom, you are going to have trouble.
Right.
But you don't have to dread the trouble. Because you can know of a surety God is going to work things out.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. All right, read on.
Shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time.
All right. Now let me show you. Nation, he said. Who did God say he was going to give the kingdom to when he took it away from the Jews?
Nation.
Not a church, but nation. And he said that nation is going to bring forth fruits thereof. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit in the fifth chapter of Galatians. Now, read some more.
And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book.
Did you hear what he said? At that time. Everybody say at that time.
At that time.
My people are going to be delivered. You think you've got trouble? Go to shouting because you're being delivered.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. Then he goes on to say,
and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake.
Now many of them, now he's not talking about literally dead.
No.
He's talking about professed Christians.
True.
That are sleep in the dust.
Right.
Because he starts off with awake, awake. Apostle Paul said, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, dead spiritually. And Christ will give you light. And light develops a picture that has been created through your imagination.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Now, God's going to wake up some of these people that's asleep in the dust, and they're going to move into this message, into everlasting life. And some of them are going to go into destruction. Well, how will I know where I'm going? If you have discernment.
Amen.
And if you can discern, oh, hallelujah, right from wrong. I like what... You see, I just don't allow in the assembly, I don't allow Dick, Tom, and Harry to prophesy to leadership.
Right.
They got no business doing it.
Amen.
It's out of order.
Amen.
If God's going to speak, he's going to speak through leadership. And just anybody hasn't got the goods to speak to leadership. Well, all right. I know you're questioning that. But that's divine order.
Amen.
That's divine order. Well, you're putting leadership above everybody else. No, I'm not. God done it. But he didn't do it to puff your mind up.
Amen.
He did it that you might have an example.
Amen.
Well, and if you're going to be an example, then you have to do it first.
Amen.
See, that's the reason. And when we take up an offering, I put in first.
Amen.
Amen. Because what if a leader don't lead? Well, I read a little more of that for me.
And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament.
Now, how many of you understand what that word wise? And they that be wise, they that have a revelation of the word, see, will shine as what? The stars. The highest promise God ever made Abraham was what?
Thy
seed. As the stars. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know when you're in that star realm, you're out of the reach of the serpent? Not only that, the path we talked about the other day, no lion, no ravenous beast, and the buzzard can't even see it. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I know I've left my original text, but I'm still on it.
Yes.
Now, if you will turn with me to another book of the Bible, Obadiah.
Sooner or later.
The book of Obadiah. I want to show you what's happening just prior to the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
This is what's taking place right now among the churches and the saints of God. Obadiah.
Amen.
I think it's right before Amos, isn't it?
Right after Amos.
Okay.
Obadiah 1.
There ain't but one chapter.
Amen. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard the rumor.
Edom, concerning Edom, the flesh.
We have heard a rumor from the Lord and from an ambassador that is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised.
Read on.
The prize of thine heart hath deceived thee.
Now, the pride of the heart has deceived thee. Now let's read some more.
Thou that dwelleth in the cliffs of the rock.
Your pride have lifted you up beyond where what you think you at. Pride has lifted you up. And now you're going to want to build a nest among the eagles. But you're not an eagle. Oh, glory to God. But you want to be among the eagles. Oh, glory. But you must remember, you don't have an eagle contents in you. Glory to God. Brother William Brannan told me a story one time. Farmer out in Colorado found an eagle's nest and got the eggs and took them back to his farm and set them eggs under a hen, and she hatched these eaglets out. And so these eaglets was right with the little dibs and biddies, you know what I'm...
Chickens.
Little chicks. You. And they was all just running around there, scratching in the barnyard together. Hallelujah. And one day, a mother eagle flew high out of sight and looked down in that barnyard and saw them little eaglets. And she let out a scream. The little bitty chicks ran to the mother hen, caught under the wing. But them little eaglets was running and looking up. They recognized the sound. They had a different nature in them. And she circled around and let out another scream. And she come down lower where they could see her. And them little eaglets ran. And when they got to the fence, up they went into the air and followed that mother eagle. While the little biddies hid under the mother's wing. Why do you suppose they done that? They had that eagle instinct and blood of an eagle in them. And they wouldn't fit in with that earthly chick. Now, if you want to scratch in the barnyard, go ahead. I've got a different nature in me. Praise God. And I can tell you very quick where you're at if you allow me to. Brother Ron, I believe, mentioned that when the mother wants to get the eagle out of the nest, pulls the downy out from the nest. The bottom of that nest has got thorns. And so they climb on the edge of the nest. And then she flaps her wings and gets them on her wing. Ooh, way, way up in the air they go. Then she turns over and shakes them off. And they're tumbling and falling and tumbling. You ain't never heard so much tongue talking in your life. You ain't never heard such screaming. God, she don't love me. Shut me off. I'm falling. Then she swoops down and catches them on the wing. Wow. And shakes them off again. God, you ain't never heard so much tongue talking in your life. I'm not putting down tongues, but a lot of folks really move into
in the
tongues when they think they're falling.
Yeah.
And you're really not falling. God just wants you to stretch your wings out and learn how to use them.
Amen.
Amen. And sail through the air.
Amen.
How many of you want to learn to just hold your wings out? And it don't take no talking in tongues to do that.
Okay.
The reason majority of folk talk in tongues so much, they don't want you to know what they're saying. The Bible tells you that. He that speaketh in tongues edifieth who?
Himself.
You're building up yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said, I would that you spoke in tongues. But rather that you prophesy. For he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. Now, how many of you just want to build yourself up, or do you want to build a church up? Well, glory. Now, when you go down into the nitty-gritty of the Word of God, your job is to edify the church and not yourself all the time. And another thing that I practice, and I do it to get rid of the show-offs. They give a message in tongues. And I don't wait. Nobody don't interpret it. I single them out. I said, now you give the message. The Bible says you're supposed to interpret.
Yeah.
But I can't. I said, well, keep your mouth shut from now on. You mean I can't give a message in tongues? Not if you ain't willing to interpret it. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if you're a carnal thinker, you think I'm against that. But that's the Bible pattern.
Yes.
Right. And I'm a Bible believer.
Amen. Yes.
And if you come around me and trying to twist the word, you're talking in deaf ears. You took your hearing aid out?
No, I said, take it out.
There was a lady, you know, William Brannan was really a stricter for, against makeup and all of that. And I was sitting beside this very wealthy lady, and I asked her, I said, how do you take his preaching when he gets on whirling his, oh, honey child, I just pull my hearing aid out.
That's what I do.
Oh, glory. But I've got to go on down in this book of Obadiah a minute.
Obadiah.
Yeah, Obadiah.
Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised.
Hallelujah.
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee.
That's what's doing. Pride goeth before a fall.
Thou that dwelleth in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
See, they're so high, they don't think nothing's going to bring them down.
Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle.
See that? They want to be an eagle saint.
And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come unto thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are these things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up?
Now, if you don't get the spiritual definition of this, how is Esau sought out? They don't give nothing to God.
Right.
They want to gather everything to themselves.
Right.
But the only way you're going to mature is to learn the secret of giving.
Right.
All right. I'm trying to get on down next to the last verse, but I don't want you to just skip there. There's a few other things I want to show you.
Amen. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They have eat thy bread, have laid a wound open unto thee. There is none understanding in him.
All right. They don't have any understanding.
Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of the Mount of Esau? And the mighty men, O Tenim, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In that day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. For thou shouldest not have entered in into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked upon the affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress.
Amen. Read on.
For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return unto thine own head. For as many have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been.
Hallelujah.
But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions.
God's servants are going to possess their possession. Now listen to what else he's saying.
And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining in the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of the host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites and Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is Zarephath, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up
that's
on Mount Zion.
That's what I wanted to show you. In all of this is just a prelude. It's what's going to happen prior to the manifestation of the sons of God. Saviors is coming up on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. And Mount Zion is another term for kingdom. And out of the kingdom shall come sons of God. Hallelujah. And these sons are sons of the kingdom, not just sons of God. And when we began to learn that, when is it going to happen? Now, if you go back to Exodus chapter 19, and we'll start at verse 11.
And be ready against the third day, for the third day of the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai.
Oh, hallelujah. We're living in the third day.
Amen.
And this third day is when God has begun a cleansing process. And you say, well, I was cleansed when the Lord saved me. Yeah, but you have gathered a whole lot of junk. And you have gathered a whole lot of your own interpretations of the word. But when we begin to look at this, verse 11.
And be ready against the third day. And the third day of the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai.
Hallelujah. Then let's go down to verse 14.
And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes.
How many of you know it's time to get your clothes washed?
Amen.
It's time. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if you go back over to the 28th chapter of Exodus, you don't turn there because I'm just going to give you a thought there. First, the calling. Next, the washing. And this is what God's doing now, washing you so he can anoint you. And then after the anointing, put on your raiment. And that raiment is going to make you recognizable.
Yes.
To do ministry. Oh, praise God. Now, how do you get these raiments? Only those that have been gifted of God can make these coats. No flesh can have the oil of God poured upon them. No flesh. Well, praise God. I'm going to close shortly. This is the first closing, so. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's read verse 15.
And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it shall come to pass in the third day, in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
There's going to be a trembling at the presence of the Lord.